North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here on August 29th with Will Love. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
All right. Quick, I got a question for you.
Okay.
All right, because you're about to introduce the other person in the studio, mm-hmm. and I actually had them as a student.
Yes.
As you would imagine, when you find out who it is, top of their class, just an amazing student, got stuff in on all the time, on time, all the time.
Uh-huh.
Just didn't need to ask to go any, to say, hey, why don't you try this or that and stuff like that. Just very, very, just one of the top students I've ever had. So my question for you:
uh-huh.
What kind of high school student were you?
Not that kind. No, I was a perpetual underachiever. I think if you had been my teacher, Mr. Love, I think I would have been fine.
Okay.
There were some classes that I did very well in.
Probably media type classes.
Yeah. And then, yeah, some others that, yeah, I wouldn't say I was that kind of student.
Right.
No. Mm-hmm.
But I was the same way, but look at us now.
Here we are.
Living the dream.
Yes. The third person in the studio right now.
Were you about to say victim?
No, yeah. We have with us Sansari Mitchell, senior writer for the Sandpoint Reader. Hi, Sansari.
Hello.
Thanks for being here this morning.
Yes, I'm happy to be your victim today.
And it's, I believe it's Mr. Love's, you've been here as much as I have, I think, this summer.
Yeah.
If not possibly more.
Potentially. But
yeah.
Like I've talked about in the past, you guys give me that six-figure salary. That's, and so I gotta show up.
But now we probably don't get you next week. Am I right about that?
Probably several weeks going forward.
It'll be a while before we hear your voice again. You'll be returning to your other job. As you just mentioned, you are a teacher.
Yep, a mm-hmm. teacher at Sandpoint High School, and super excited for the school year to start. We had our open house the other night, and just seeing all of those young faces come in, and kind of a mix of excitement and then just, next week and the first day of school for them.
Yeah. Let's see. So the school year is starting, but summer is, we're still in summer right now, and we are certainly still in fire season, and I think that's where I'm going to start the headline rundown today.
Beautiful segue, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Well, as you said, we've been doing this for a while, living the dream. Let's see, the Sunset, folks have been paying a great deal of attention to the Sunset Fire. The Lightning Creek Fire has been burning for longer, but has been, I don't think the term they like to use is under control, but at least under... They've been able to, they've been scaling back operations on the Lightning Creek Fire. Last week on this program, I spoke to the public information officer for the Sunset and the Lightning Creek Fire about those. At the time, I think the Sunset Fire was at either 0 or maybe 6% containment or something like that. That was 1 week ago, and my, what a change a week can make. It is, as of yesterday, which is the most recent informational release that they put out, as of yesterday, the Sunset Fire was at 66% containment. They were in the mop-up, secure, and hold fire lines phase, and they are removing pumps, hose lays, and sprinklers where they're no longer needed. So the operations, I think they were at, they had 700 people on the ground last week. They're now down to 596. The fire is 3,230 acres, but obviously they, the feeling is that they know what's going to happen with the fire, and either there will be a major weather event or they'll have it put out by September 20th is their current forecast. That's what's going on with the Sunset Fire. You can tune in today for what will probably be our last daily update at noon, I'm guessing. We've been all this week, we've been doing updates on the, and starting last week, we did updates on progress of the firefighting efforts at the Sunset Fire. I think now, now as the, those, all the evacuation orders that were go are now returned to set, and I think we'll be... We no longer need to do daily updates on that fire, probably. So at noon, you'll hear the last one. That's my prediction, barring something else coming up. The Bonner County Board of Commissioners voted unanimously on August 18th to adopt the county's 2026 fiscal year budget of $78,048,046. The overall budget is $164,558 less than fiscal year 2025. It's budget season, by the way. Did I mention that? The city of Sandpoint adopted its budget of $49,927,665 on August 20th. There are some additional budgeting items. The ambulance district approved their $5 million budget. The Board of Commissioners also acts as the governing body of the Bonner County Ambulance Service District, even though they are technically not the same. It is not technically a county department, something we've talked about before, and Santre, you've written about before. But their budget has been approved at $5 million. I had one more budget item. Who else approved their budget? Panhandle... Let's see. Did Panhandle Health approve a budget? I think so. Yeah. Okay. Panhandle Health approved their budget. I imagine all the other cities in the area have approved their budgets as well. Here's, let's see. The City of Sandpoint's budget meeting was on August 20th, and that was a jam-packed meeting. The vote to approve the budget was unanimous, but in the words of the editor of the Sandpoint Reader, Zach Hagedon, not without friction. Councilman Schreiber raised some concerns about the budget, and as well, there was the new fee schedule was approved. The fee schedule was much more hotly contested. Councilman Espiro, Duquette, Pam Duquette, and Rick Howarth were... let's see, opposed to that new fee schedule. Councilman Schreiber, Deb Rule, the council president, and Justin Dick voted in favor, and the mayor cast the tie-breaking vote to approve the new fee schedule for the city of Sandpoint. This was after the representative of Avril Hospitality spoke to council in opposition of that new fee schedule. And going as far as to say that the fees that were going to be implemented, the impact fees would raise their impact fees alone would go from about $300,000 to almost $1.3 million. Those are in the words of, and the estimation of Ben McGran, who's the developer's representative and project manager for Avril Hospitality's hotel development at City Beach. But the new fee schedule was approved. It will not, let's see, the actual implementation date likely to be closer to October 3rd, as Jason Welker said, I believe. And... yeah, an interesting meeting at the City of Sandpoint on August 20th. The last item that they approved on August 20th was ballot language for a $130 million bond measure that will be appearing on your ballots on November the 4th of this year. That's for the wastewater treatment plant. I don't want to get too deep into the wastewater treatment plant discussion, just because I know we're going to be talking a lot about that between now and November 4th. I think there will be at least one, if not more, dedicated hours on these airwaves talking about what that is going to mean. So stay tuned for that. But the bond measure would be, I believe, the biggest in city history. This is the biggest kind of single expense that the city has ever considered. $130 million will be will be put to voters on November 4th here in the year 2025. That reminds me that election, on that election day, the residents of the city of Sandpoint will also be voting for city council. Last week, there was only one declared candidate for the three open seats. As of right now, or at least as of yesterday, when they most recently updated their website, there are four. Joshua Torres was declared as of last week. Current Councilman Joel Espiro has thrown his hat back into the ring, as well as current Councilman Rick Howarth. And new candidate Joe Tate has also declared his candidacy. Today is the deadline for candidates to file for their candidacy to be on city council. So today is the last day. If you're considering it, you have to file. You file at the Bonner County Elections Office. Yes, you do, over at the county building on Highway 2. So not. I think you can go to the Sandpoint City Clerk's office as well at City Hall, but you have to account for the time it will take to visit the Bonner County offices for the certification, and then yes, I think you have to do both. You have to go certify at Bonner County Elections Office and then file at City Hall. So don't wait until 4:45 to start this process if you're considering becoming a city councilman. City council person. I've said city councilman a few times now. You get into the habit. You say it once and it just rolls off the tongue. City councilor, I think, is also approved language. Okay, let's talk about why Sansaray is here. The ambulance district, ambulance district approved their $5 million budget, and that was that I think we should probably go down or go through what that budget exactly entails and kind of why the ambulance district has been such a topic of interest this year. But also Panhandle Health is, I guess, the first line is the Panhandle Health District Board. The Board of Health Chair Thomas Fletcher gave an update to the Bonner County Board of Commissioners on August 26th. He introduced incoming Panhandle Health District Medical Director Gregory Penick, and he made broad accusations that the district's administration and legal counsel have thwarted him, in his words. So, friction at Panhandle Health in this article that you wrote. Would you rather talk about the Panhandle Health or would you rather talk about the ambulance district first, Sansaray?
I mean, Panhandle Health is more fun.
Okay.
If we just want to start with dessert first.
Yes. Let's introduce the cast of characters here. There's a real, the organization is really, the different members of the organization find themselves in significant opposition to one another, I guess. At different levels, there's, as the Board of Health Chair Thomas Fletcher said, he's finding himself thwarted by the administration of the at least in his mind. How does the administration feel about Thomas Fletcher? And should we start there? Who is the Panhandle Health District Board of Health Chair, Thomas Fletcher? And how long has he been in that role?
So Thomas Fletcher was elected to the board in 2022. He's been serving as the chair for a little over a year because, in his words, the previous chair, he said something like, has indicated his desire to never attend another one of these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So we can definitely hear in that there's been a little bit of friction on the board for quite a while now. And honestly, between the administration and Thomas Fletcher, the friction currently seems all the animosity is really on Fletcher's side, as we have reached out to the director of Panhandle Health, Eric Kettner. And so for the last few months, Thomas Fletcher has been making these accusations, and they kind of came to a head at this most recent meeting where he's been saying that, you know, we don't know where taxpayer money is going. We don't know what Panhandle Health District is doing. We don't understand what the clinical services are. And so he's been saying all of these things. And as I mentioned in the article, at their monthly meeting, they get a very large handout. The pieces that were available to me was about 13 pages. And they have a budget breakdown by month, and then it shows all of the expenses and the revenues for the entire year. And then they also have very, very detailed district updates based on the different positions within Panhandle Health District showing, you know, we gave X number of vaccines here, we did this number of home visits, and we're working on this health code. From the outside, everything is very transparent at Panhandle Health District. As Kettner said, the word he used is puzzled. He was puzzled why Thomas Fletcher doesn't know these things because he's given that meeting packet every month. And so Fletcher essentially stood up and, as you said, accused everyone in a position of power in Panhandle Health District of thwarting him. He said many things like this in the past, and he's never explained what that means. He said a little bit here that he was told to sit down and shut up, which I'm not sure what that translates into. I know that he was very opposed to having legal counsel present at the meetings every month. He kind of made a bit of a stink about it and called out the lawyers when they did attend, and they said, of course, well, you're making policy decisions, it's good to have legal counsel so you can ask questions. But Fletcher had said that it seemed like they were sent to kind of watch him and guard and see what he's doing, look over his shoulder. And so when he introduced Gregory Pennock, who's going to be the new medical director, he essentially said that Pennock is a friend of his and that he's coming in to do a deep audit of Panhandle Health District. Pennock he has a great medical history. He was the director of cardiology in Pocatello. He's been private practice for 17 years. He worked at different universities. So very well equipped to do this job. He didn't say one way or another what his intentions were because, as he put it, he hasn't spent more than 10 seconds in Panhandle Health District, but he said his first order of business was going to be analyzing their clinical services, seeing what they're doing, when they're doing it, how they're doing it, how much money they're spending on it, and then if those standards are meeting the needs of the local communities. And that's been a big topic up for debate, especially with Bonner County Commissioner Asia Williams, who is a very big mental health services proponent. And she has quite correctly said that Bonner County is lacking in mental health services, as are many rural places. And so she has been pushing to get more of those services from Panhandle Health District. And so far, even though they've been in dialogue for quite a while, there hasn't been a a great move. We haven't seen a lot of traction for that yet because the health district is operating on a limited budget for five counties. And because they are based in Kootenai County, they only spend about one clinic day a week up in Sandpoint. So resources are pretty limited in that way.
The health districts are Bedawa, Boundary, Kootenai, Shoshone, and Bonner County. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, first of all, can you kind of go through quickly like how the board comes together, how you are elected to the board?
Yes. So for the five counties that are represented, those individual county commissioners will vote on and choose their person that they want to represent them. And then all of the county commissioners come together in one big vote and they elect representatives to the board by a majority vote. And so you are elected by all of the counties. Currently, we have two people representing us. We are Thomas Fletcher, and it was unclear whether Gregory Pennock is taking over that position from Duke Johnson, who's leaving, and then we would potentially have three members on the board. But I need to follow up on that because they are very slow about updating that on their website. It takes a few months, so... Yeah.
So it's made up of representatives from each of the counties. Thomas Fletcher, the current chair, he's from Bonner County.
Yes.
And so was appointed by, but I believe he was appointed by the previous board of, or nominated, by the previous board of commissioners.
Yes.
Right.
In 2022. The
county commissioners. Okay.
And I believe both men, Pennock and Fletcher, are from Sagal. I think Fletcher, I found, runs sort of a little organic farm stand out there. So if people recognize him.
Okay. Does he have a medical background?
He does. He was in private practice for a long time. He moved here. He originally practiced in Texas. Mm-hmm. And I forget his area of specialization. But
I mean, I guess... I assume most, if not all, of the Board of Health has some sort of medical background.
Yes. Right? They are all doctors, pretty much. Glenn Bailey, who is another representative from Bonner County, is not a doctor. He was one of our commissioners, actually.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, the board is it made up, is this correct? It's made up of seven members of the board? Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. How does the rest of the board feel about this? Do you get a sense at all? I mean, is the board united with Thomas Fletcher and kind of against the administration, or is there division on the board as well?
They have been trying to keep things peaceful and mm-hmm. and not stir up anything, but you can tell mostly that they are not siding with Fletcher. The previous medical director, Duke Johnson, was on Fletcher's side to a certain extent, in the sense that where they really became newsworthy was their pushback against vaccines. And they both clarified many times that they're not anti-vax, that they have given their patients vaccinations, but they were questioning the validity, the safety. They're especially questioning overarching health organizations, especially the CDC, and that's pretty in vogue right now to question those. Most of the board was concerned by that language and was politely pushing back against it. Eventually, I believe it was back in May, we did see some representatives, Peggy Kuvala, I believe, from Benoit County, sort of pushing back even harder and saying, okay, at this point, like, we're getting into fear-mongering territory. We do not want to, as a public health district, undermine people's faith in health districts and health organizations, because then we're going to get what we're seeing now is outbreaks of formerly almost eradicated or preventable diseases. So they have been siding more with the administration and questioning why Fletcher is making these accusations and why he's saying that he doesn't have access to this information, because they have access to the information. It's been handled pretty publicly. And so
that's where I'm kind of struggling with this in regard to, I know it's a health district, mm-hmm. and obviously there's laws when it comes to, you know, the health service that you receive mm-hmm. and disclosure on that, but it's also a government entity. So, like, I mean, how much of this would be available just for a citizen to ask for?
Yeah, it's pretty much all. You can't request, you know, clinical services, anything that implicates an individual person, any medical records that are protected by HIPAA. But otherwise, you can request pretty much anything. And, you know, you can submit a public records request, but also if you go on the website or just reach out, they have a contact us feature. You can pretty much get all of this information. And so Fletcher has never made it clear if he's saying that this information that is widely available is wrong, in his opinion. He's just been saying that he doesn't have it and that he doesn't know. He doesn't know. He keeps saying that. When the commissioners asked, you know, well, how are you going to help Bonner County in the future? How are more services going to come to us up here? I don't know. I wish I could tell you. I don't know. So that's a very concerning phrase to hear so often from the chair.
Well, I guess interesting. I'm not totally sure. He says that the bad news is I cannot account for how your tax dollars are being spent. But it seems like we can. I mean, you can see how the budget is being spent.
Yes.
I don't know.
And the commissioners all the commissioners from all the counties just voted to accept mm-hmm. Panhandle Health District's budget and how much they were contributing to it. So yeah. They did have a very deep breakdown of all the expenses.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's hard for me to fully figure out what information, I guess this is kind of what you were just saying, Will, but yeah, what information does he feel like he's lacking?
In regard to the audience that day, i.e. the commissioners, like how did they kind of respond to this?
The commissioners they didn't really go along with his accusations. They stayed pretty middle of the road, saying things like, okay, well, how do we help you? How do we get this information to you? If indeed you are being deprived of something that you need to know, is that something that we can help as you are our representatives? They then talked about different things that they wanted to see going forward, especially regular updates from Fletcher and from Pennock about what Panhandle Health is doing in our county. The actual public audience was very concerned by his language and was saying, wow, like, why are you so aggressive at this? Is the situation really that bad? This is very concerning, things like that. We had several people who are leaning more towards, I would say, well-known conspiracies, talking about chemtrails and cloud seeding and also anti-vax people getting up and kind of showing support. So another thing that they discussed was potentially monitoring our rainwater for pollutants, which I think is a good thing in general because we do create a lot of pollution and it's aerosolized and it goes up into the sky. But they are saying specifically that there are government organizations that are dousing us with poison and attempting to change the climate for their own, I guess, financial desires. So
is this maybe the information that he wants?
That, I mean, Panhandle Health District doesn't have control over the federal government. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that's what they're talking about when they say they are, you know, seeding the sky. So there's nothing that Panhandle Health can do about that. But if he would like, and this is a point that Kettner has made several times, if he would like to monitor rainwater, all he has to do is put it on the agenda for the board meeting and they will vote on it. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't appear to be doing that. The last thing that was really a contentious subject that he put on a board agenda was discussing consent and vaccines. And it was, as most people feared in the audience, sort of a way to undermine the validity and safety of vaccines while, again, making these broad accusations. He didn't say explicitly, you know, I think this vaccine causes autism or something like that. But he did say the CDC and the World Health Organization are lying to us and all of your government officials are lying. He said before, as soon as a government official opens their mouth, it's a lie, which he is a government official. So a lot of confusing rhetoric coming from that position.
And obviously the CDC is a whole story.
There is the third confirmed case of measles was, I think, announced on August 20th in Bonner County by the Panhandle Health District.
Yes, and that was something that they brought up at that sort of anti-vaccination discussion was there are all these measles outbreaks in Texas, and if we keep going down this road, they're going to be in Bonner County. And lo and behold, several months later, here we are.
Well, we're running short on time. I still have more questions, but I don't know. I mean, I think we're just going to have to wait to hear more from Thomas Fletcher. I don't want to put, you know, words in his mouth or try to speculate on exactly what he's thinking irresponsibly. So I guess we better not. A couple corrections. How about this? Or a couple further notes. One correction came in live while we were on the air. You can go directly to City Hall and declare your intent to run if you're willing to pay a $40 filing fee if you're going to run for city council. You do not, you can skip the process of going to the county if you are willing to pay that $40 filing fee, I believe, and not go through the county process of filing a petition to run. There's that. I will also mention the Planning Commission. I think on last week's show, I mentioned that there was a meeting scheduled for August 27th, which would have been this past Wednesday. However, the Bonner County Planning Commission canceled that meeting, or postponed it anyway, after some public feedback. So there was no meeting of the Planning Commission on August 27th. That would have been a meeting focused on minor land divisions, where members would have potentially voted to recommend approval of proposed changes to Bonner County Revised Code 12. And there's currently an emergency moratorium in effect on minor land divisions running through October. Or at least into October. I don't remember exactly the day. Let's see. We run short on time.
Well, go ahead, real quick, I wanted to get Sans Ray's take on her big expose. I want to dig into it a little bit more in regard to preparing your garden for fall. And so if you can just give us a few tips as we end today's show on what we can do to prepare our garden for fall.
Yes. Excellent question. Way more fun. I love this. Okay. Uh-huh. So the important things to remember about fall is this is a great time to build up your soil, and so that you don't have to dump a whole bunch of fertilizer on it and potentially pollute our local water bodies. So now is not the time for fertilizer. The plants aren't going to use it. And if they do use it, they'll bloom and then die in the cold. So we're going to let them take a nice nap, put down some good compost, some mulch, anything that's going to sort of insulate them from the cold, keep them warm, and also decay over time and build up the soil. Also, for your perennial plants, it's a very good time to cut them back down, either to the new growth or, depending on the plant, all the way almost to the roots, so that you're not letting pests and diseases get in through those dead tops and go down into the crowns, into the roots.
Now, one thing you did say is in your report is that manure is tricky. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, manure is tricky because for the common manures that you can buy, especially from cows and horses or that your friend with a farm will give you, those guys do not fully digest weed seeds that they're eating. So if you just take it fresh from the cow and put it in the garden, you are going to get all of those seeds coming up and potentially fighting with all of your plants that you actually do want. Also, they can be, because it is poo, essentially, can be covered in urea, which is a chemical in urine that is a very good fertilizer. But if you just, you know, dump the whole thing on your plants, they will get burned because it is far too strong. So the important thing to remember about manure is to let it sit for at least 4 months, usually more if you can, and bake a little bit as you would bake some compost and let it break down, and then you can add that, and it's beautiful. But you do have to live with the smell for a little while.
And final question for you, how was your garden this year?
It was very good. I have a whole bunch of raised beds that I've accumulated over the years, and I got a nice crop of zucchinis, tomatoes, lots of lettuce and things like that. Unfortunately, about halfway through the year, my fence came down in a windstorm, and so my little baby watermelon and cantaloupe and all of those, they got eaten by the deer. And last year I got cantaloupes that were maybe the size of a dodgeball, and those got eaten by squirrels. So melons have not been going well for me.
You got cantaloupe, though.
I did get cantaloupe.
Well, I'm impressed.
I was okay. So happy.
Okay. And so were the deer.
Yes.
Right. Well, good. Yes. I still, hats off to you for growing cantaloupe successfully.
Why, thank you.
I didn't even know we were in the right climate. Zone 6, as it says right here.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. All right, well, we're over time. That's our show. School year begins, Will. It's been wonderful having you this summer.
Yep, and I look forward to dropping in throughout the school year, and then hopefully you'll have me back next summer.
We have more plans. We're going to have to get I'll have to take a close look at the schedule for the Lake Pendere School District to see when your days off are coming up on Fridays, and we'll make things happen.
And also be looking for new episodes of CP at 3, radio show that is produced by students in my class. And we've got some ideas in regard to maybe broadening the show a little bit within that hour spectrum. But anyway, so.
Well, have a great school year. Let's see. We'll see folks from this radio station tonight at the Panda Theater, where we'll all be going out to see the movie Falling, and a little Q&A from director and star Viggo Mortensen.
Well, and also KRFY disc jockey.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's actually going to do another one.
I think that's where he's more well known. Is that true, Sanfrey?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, that is right. That's his main claim to fame. He'll be doing another guest set on September 11th, actually. Here on KRFY. But tonight we'll go and catch him out, check him out.
I definitely think there will be people checking him out.
Yes.
Indeed. Anyway, that's tonight. Unfortunately, tickets are sold out for that event, but you can contact the Panda. Possibly, you know, somebody will have an extra one that they turn in or something like that, and you might have a chance, but that event has been sold out for a little while. Okay, Sansaray, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Here's a band that Sansaray thinks she might have heard of once. It's Wilco.
I saw them last Friday in the Kettle House Amphitheater, put on a great show.
Yes.
Happiest I've seen Jeff Tweedy in the 6 concerts that I've gone to, which was awesome to see.
Okay. Thank you. That's really the reason we're playing it, is because you just came back from Missoula. Okay. Wilco with Jesus Etc. off of their acclaimed Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, which I think Rolling Stone named the second best album of the 2000s or something like
that. On my list, it was number one.
Okay. All right, here we go.